What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Locked On Thunder Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am Brady Trantham, and for the next 30 minutes or so, you will be Locked On Thunder. And it is Thursday. The Thunder are back in action in Oklahoma City tonight for the first night of a back-to-back. One at home tonight against the Sacramento Kings, and then on the road against Giannis Antetokounmpo and the best team in the NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks. Especially the best team in the NBA, according to our Locked On Podcast poll, which I'll probably post on Twitter at some point today. I've been busy all day today. Had to fill in for Dylan Buckingham on the Dylan and Todd show from 9 to noon on 107.7 The Franchise. So I'm a little bit up in the air, but recording this right now at around 1:30. Hopefully we get this out by 2 or 2:30 for your listening pleasure for tonight's game. But yes, a lot to be excited for in the next few days in Thunderland. And if you don't know who I am, I've been covering the Thunder since 2014 and since 2018 with 107.7 The Franchise, 107.9 The Franchise in Tulsa as their lead Thunder insider, contributor guy, whatever they want to call me. And you can find all my stuff at thefranchiseok.com. You can find Ryan Chapman's Thunder coverage at thefranchiseok.com, which will be my guest today, and we'll introduce him in a few minutes. I got to talk about me first. I'm the important one here. You can also follow the OKC82 podcast. You can subscribe to that. It's free. It's the post-game reaction show that Madison Morris and I do after every single Thunder game, home and away. And we're typically on the radio now doing it. So you can listen to it live on 107.7 The Franchise. If you're in Oklahoma City and you're going to the game for a home game, just walk over the street to Flint Restaurant, and we'll be right at that first table right when you walk in. You can come say hi to us if you want to within the hour after the game ends. And then also, please tune in to the Basketball Insider Show on Saturday mornings from 10 a.m. to noon with Jerry Ramsey, John Hamm, Madison, and me. I don't know if we're going to be in studio or not this Saturday. We were on remote last Saturday at Northwest Classen. We're going to try and do a little bit more remotes just for, you know, just to spice it up, make it more fun. But we have fun on the show. We talk Thunder basketball, of course. We talk NBA stuff. So if you like hoops and you've got nothing else to do on a Saturday morning while you're washing your car, doing something, doing the laundry, just turn us on. Hopefully we turn you on. Boom! Hey-o! On a Saturday morning. Let's get right into it. The Sacramento Kings tonight. But I do have a guest, like I said a few minutes ago. I had one of two people on last week from the Sideline Warning podcast. Had Christine Butterfield on. And now we've got the second half of the Sideline Warning podcast, as well as a very, very, very talented contributor with the franchiseok.com, 107.7 The Franchise. Not just Thunder basketball, but he also does a fantastic job covering Oklahoma Sooner basketball. So this guy knows his hoops, but Mr. Ryan Chapman at Radio's Ryan, what's up, man?
I was about to say, we're breaking the fourth wall here, as I have now invaded both segments of the Locked On Oklahoma basketball world between Locked On Sooners and now Locked On Thunder. It's exciting times.
I know, you're climbing the ladder. It can only go up from here, because it can literally only go up from here.
We're trying. Yeah. Hey, I got to also produce the Dylan and Todd show this morning with you and Todd. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we played the Danilo Gallinari song.
It was fun. Introduced that to Todd. That was exciting. Always fun when you can bring something new, bring that song into someone's life. So
I know, like, shame on the Thunder for not playing it as much. They've had ample opportunity to play it this year. He's been pretty damn good.
Yeah. Yeah, but lately he had been a little rocky. I'm glad that he got it going again. He kind of tanked a great moment of Twitter gold I was going to have, but that's okay.
What was it?
So during the last home game, he had a little rocky start, and I was fully prepared to tweet out more efficient since the All-Star break, the Democratic caucuses, or Danilo Gallinari. Then he, of course, has a backdoor cut, reverse slam, and I'm just like, I'm very glad I did not. I'm very glad I did not tweet this.
Well, I guess let's touch on this for a little bit, because I've talked about it a few times. Outside of that 5-of-5 start he had against Chicago the other night, basically since the New Orleans game, because he was good on both ends of the floor as much as he could be against Zion Williamson. He had a career-high 32 points, but wasn't all on Danilo Gallinari.
Short career, too.
And you also don't expect Danilo to shut down Zion Williamson anyway. But basically since that Pelicans game, he's been rather inefficient. And the Thunder haven't really needed him. They dominated Denver. They destroyed San Antonio. And Danilo played into a huge part of why they were up 24 in the first place against Chicago. And he did have a big-time clutch baseline dunk late in that game that they absolutely needed. But I think after that 5-5 start, he finished 3 of 11.
Yeah.
And that kind of mirrored his first two outputs out of the All-Star break, just 4 of 12. Just they didn't really need him in one hand, but at the other hand, like, we're used to him being so coldly efficient, and it's just been something that I've noticed.
This is something that I had kind of been tracking post trade deadline. Of course, against Detroit, he noticeably had a down game, and everyone was like, "Oh, Danilo should have learned that you're supposed to tank your draft stock before the deadline, all that stuff." Ha ha ha. But then he had an up and down series there of he would have good scoring outputs on inefficient nights. And then, of course, leading into, he played well in New Orleans, I thought. And like you said, all the troubles with Zion, you know, Danilo's not coming in to be a defensive stop or anything like that. But since the break, All-Star break, he's been up and down. It's the same story of he might have a great scoring output, but then if you actually look at the shooting percentage, kind of look at some of the shots that he's missing, he's putting himself into the good spots we're seeing, and he's just missing shots. So it's one of those things, if it's just one of those mid-season skids that you just find themselves on.
And like the thing that kind of worries me, like, he could very well turn it around. Like, this is only a 3-game stretch. This is by no means this is like something to look forward to. But he's missed more than half of his uncontested shots. So, like, basically the shots that he's taking that are not well defended, he's missing. So it could be just a matter of he's just having off shooting nights, and any player can go through that. I mean, Steph Curry will have off shooting nights when he's healthy. Klay Thompson will. So it's just something to keep an eye on, because, I mean, Sacramento is not a defensive juggernaut by any means, and they don't really have anybody that I feel confident can give Danilo Gallinari any type of fit defensively. Yeah. So if he's going to get back to being the player that we knew prior to the All-Star break, the efficiency and the scoring punch, like, it'll happen tonight.
Yeah, and totally agree. This isn't anything to hit a panic button or anything. It was just an interesting little trend that
that I thought was over at Chicago, but then, you know, 3 of 11. But they didn't really need him at that point. They're up 24.
Look, I was just happy to make fun of some bring some politics into sports. I like when you can kind of, it's like living on the wild side a little bit when you have a tweet that you kind of relate sports to politics, and everyone's just like, I don't want to touch it, and it's just funny to see the reaction. And thankfully I didn't do that, though, because I would have
it's always funny when someone like brings up, you know, the current sitting president, and then they bring up also the gif or the video clip of Stan Van Gundy telling his team how to stop Dwayne Wade.
Yeah,
form a wall.
It's just
I love that clip.
It's just one of those things that's just the kind of humor I have. If you listen to the Dylan and Todd show, you know that we Brady and I not averse to making little history drops here and there. So,
of course, Todd also a history nerd. That was great.
Yeah, it was a fun time. Not sure that everyone loved it, but we had fun, and that's what matters. If we're having fun, you guys are gonna have fun too, right?
Yeah,
right. I hope.
Yeah. Yeah,
maybe.
Screw the listener. I'm just kidding. Not you. Not the Locked On podcast listeners.
We intelligent fan base of your Locked On.
Predominantly
following.
Male audience.
Yes, predominantly
as
male.
As the commercials say.
With expendable income. all you local businesses, they're advertising. What's the number to text?
Yeah, 33777. LockedOn.com/advertising.
there you have it.
I'm not supposed to do a live read today, but there you go. David Locke and Locked On Podcast Network. I did it anyway.
Look, you stumble into it sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes it works. No, I guess we can move on a little bit more onto the Kings. Like, you know, this is shame on me. I said this on the radio today. Shame on me for having expectations for the Sacramento freaking Kings.
Yeah.
But, like, obviously there's a local angle involved with this. Buddy Hield, you know, former Sooner great, in my opinion, a top five Sooner regardless of sport. The fact that I went to college the same time he was in school, and he got progressively better and better, and plus he's just a likable guy and a likable basketball player, notwithstanding. But, you know, that's there. But the Kings had a young core that you could invest in, you can get excited for, and they played an exciting brand of basketball last year, even with a head coach in Dave Yeager, who, when you think of up and down athletic basketball team, Dave Yeager is not on your coaching list.
No,
for that.
Not at all.
And that's probably a reason why they decided to go elsewhere with their coaching. And then Luke Walton comes in, and he's not exactly the type of coach that fits that mold either, in my opinion. He's still too raw and too young. The Lakers experience, I don't really hold that against him, because as we all saw, that front office is just, and the ownership was just silly.
All over the place.
Plus the players that they had and drafted, all silly. No one was on the same page. I don't really credit him for Golden State, because they were an unbeatable machine. You and I could have coached that team to 55 wins at least. So now we're finally kind of to see what type of coach he is. And they start off the gate, what, 5-12?
Yeah.
They're awful. And they were slow. And they have since picked up the pace, and I know they're a little bit of a faster team now, but they have no choice because that's what they are. But even saying that, like Buddy Hield's coming off the bench, the dynamics are weird. De'Aaron Fox has not been the player that I thought. Like, I thought he was going to take a certain leap. He hasn't exactly made it, and I don't know if he's ever going to be a guy that can be dynamic in terms of having the ball in his hands. He's always going to be fast. He's always going to be athletic, but it's just kind of like a poor man's Russell Westbrook. Like, can he hit a jump shot? Can he hit a three-point shot? And I know the percentages sometimes are nice, but it's just been weird with Sacramento. And at the end of the day, I think it's just that front office is so bad that no matter what, they could have drafted Luka Doncic and they'd still be laugh out loud bad.
Yeah. Yeah. And this will be one of the more interesting games, I think. This has the potential to be a really fun game to watch, but I don't think it behooves the Thunder to make it a fun game to watch.
It would be a fun game to watch if Russell was here.
Yes.
Because it'd be too, because those Thunder Kings games the last 2 years have always been fun. And yes, I realize, oh, what's his name? Thunder Killer. Oh, man. He used to play for the Knicks for the longest time, and I can't remember his name. He scored like 40 points against the Thunder. You know what I'm talking about? Flat top?
Yeah.
He used to have flat top with the Knicks. Amon Shumpert.
What a guy.
Yeah, like.
Best hair in the league.
Yeah, and last year, like, the Amon Shumpert's, like, dropping 30 or 40 against the Thunder, but those games were so fun because Russell's like, okay, you want to play that way? And he even told De'Aaron Fox, I'm too fast.
Yes.
Like, I'm faster than you.
Yeah.
So, but I agree, like, if the Thunder, if they're going to win this game, it's going to be because they force Sacramento to play their style, and they could very well do that just because they're the better team anyway.
Yeah, and I think that this is, like we've said earlier, a night to look at Danilo Gallinari to get back on track. A lot of people, as you've been probably the most vocal about this, the last, what, five back-to-backs?
Second night of back-to-backs.
Yes. Yep.
They've sat Gallinari for random reasons. Yeah. Like, he's got a hurt sore knee, he's got a sore ankle, just something. You know.
So a lot of Thunder fans are like, hey, you should sit Gallinari tonight and play him tomorrow in Milwaukee. And I completely disagree. I think that the Thunder can put this game away early and keep it just in check, unlike the Chicago game, if they're able to get Steven Adams going, get Nerlens Noel going, get Gallo going, and slow the pace down, because the Kings really have no presence in the front court. They want to get out and run, let their back court make plays, and so this is just a night that you hope that Gallinari gets rolling and just win the games you're supposed to win. I think that I hate the term scheduled loss, but
it is a thing.
But it's a thing. In Milwaukee, you never expect to go on the road to the best team in the NBA and win, much less on the second night of a back-to-back. So put all of your eggs in this basket and then just play with house money tomorrow, because no matter who's playing tomorrow, Billy Donovan can go to the locker room and say, hey, guys, no one out there thinks that we can do anything tonight. Let's just go out, have fun, play our best game of basketball, see what happens. And if you're in a game late, you steal a win, anything like that, that'll be immense for seeding and all that stuff. But it's one of those games that you just say, pressure's off, let's go have some fun.
Yeah, and look, like, you know, like, it was a weird observation at the time. Like, okay, he hasn't played the last 2 seconds out of the backpacks, now three. Now I see what they're doing here. I don't know if that's going to be the philosophy moving forward. And even if I ask Billy Donovan about it tonight during the pregame availability with him, he's not going to tell me that, yeah, we're planning on sitting him or not planning on sitting him now. But I would be interested to see if they decide not to. And I would assume it's because, well, the trade deadline is coming past. This is the team we're rolling with. Danilo's on it. Like, we're all about managing his minutes in terms of not making him play more than 32 or 33 a night. Like, that time will come in the postseason if we have to do that. But unless you're seriously dealing with something, like, we need you from Milwaukee. And having said that, I agree. Like, I'm not, I understand the fan perspective of this is an easy win. You're at home. The Kings suck. You know, use Danilo for the second half of the back-to-back. That's disrespecting your opponent. And in the NBA, when you disrespect your opponent or you don't take them seriously, you can lose to the Wizards at home like this team already has.
Well, and this team is what, 2 weeks removed from playing with their food with Cleveland and Detroit and finding themselves in games where all of the starters should have been out with 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter, both of those games. And then it...
Because that's the thing. If they take care of business tonight, Danilo Gallinari might be playing 20 minutes anyway.
Yeah, and then you saw that they came out and they lost against Boston. Why? Because there's no shame in losing against Boston. But in the biggest moments in that game, when you needed to make a run, they weren't crisp enough. And that's just the kind of things that happen when you let that complacency seep in and you overlook people. Out of the All-Star break, two great games against Denver and the Spurs, and then it kind of happened against Chicago. So this is a habit you need to break, because if you're going to be having the heightened expectations of maybe chasing a four seed, actually making a run in the playoffs as opposed to just being a one and done, bowing out in an embarrassing manner, you need to be crisp and you need to be locked in. And those are habits that you can't just not have for 82 games and then flip a switch. There are so few players, much less teams, that have the ability to coast and then flip the switch. And that's what I think makes LeBron so remarkable. But that's a time, different place, different time. But you've seen it with Russell Westbrook. He is unable to break the habits of the regular season. Then the mental game comes in, and that's where Damian Lillard takes him to school. Ricky Rubio puts him in a pocket for an entire series.
That's embarrassing.
And you don't want to see that coming into this postseason. And I think that this Thunder team has been good about not doing that to this point. So why start now?
When we get back, more Ryan Chapman, more Thunder basketball. And welcome back to the Locked On Thunder podcast, everybody. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am Brady Trantham, and I am joined today by the second half of the Sideline Warning podcast, which you can subscribe to anywhere you listen to podcasts. We had Christine Butterfield on last week when the Thunder took on the Nuggets, and she did a fantastic job. And she does a fantastic job with us at thefranchiseok.com and on 107.7 The Franchise. She is on vacation today. She will be noticeably absent during our game coverage tonight, and we will let her know about it. But the other half of the Sideline Warning podcast, Ryan Chapman, joins me. Hello again.
Fantastic is a strong word.
Yeah.
For Christine's work. She does a good job.
She does a good job. Yeah, yeah.
She does a good job. She's not exactly Madison, who's worthless and just a bother. But she does a good
Christine
job.
Smiles more and seems more grateful, whereas Madison always wears black, and I am a little intimidated by her presence.
Yeah,
to be honest.
Fair.
She's a witch.
The height helps.
I know.
Let's be honest.
I know. Madison, like, she's already, like, 5'9". You know, she's tall for a woman. And then she wears heels.
And Madison doesn't skimp out on her heels. They are, like, 3 to 6 inch heels.
She's like Gene Simmons on stage.
Yeah.
Like, the big old dragon boots you're wearing over here.
Yep.
And which helps out in scrums, because she's just towers over everybody. And she's like, nope, I got the angle.
Yep.
Just tower over these short little media folks.
Unfortunately, my short arms, good for bench press, bad for post-game scrum, seeing as I'm just a measly 5'9".
Trust me, I've seen somebody pull out a selfie stick during scrums. You laugh at it, laugh at the person, but you know what? They're getting a good shot.
You laugh
so
at the person.
Who's actually laughing?
You laugh at the person until they get a good shot and you realize that you're, 10 minutes into Billy Donovan. And when I've tried to switch hands 3 times and propping up my arm, and you look over and they're just standing there with the selfie stick just like under their arm, and they're just cross arms.
I remember back in 2016 when I started going to practices and standing in scrums and learning how to hold your phone and everything. And then when we were talking to Billy, it became apparent that I got to start working my forearms out,
because
this hurts.
Yes,
there are times. Most of the time now, I just get audio from Billy. But when I know he's going to talk about something that I may want to have on a video, like, well, I'm glad that I worked out my forearms yesterday, because now they won't be tired after 2 minutes.
Although I was really pleased. So at the franchise yesterday, we helped out with some intern videos and things like that. I noticed myself during they had to make a pot of coffee and they were given 10 minutes to do it. I noticed I was able to hold my phone up, not really have some forearm fatigue. Now she's like, all those media scrums really paying off.
It helps out. I mean, every little muscle counts.
Exactly.
Every little scrum counts. But now, as we continue to preview tonight's Kings game, the Thunder do take on the Kings tonight in Oklahoma City. So hopefully the peak is rocking. It always makes the job more enjoyable when the crowd is loud.
Yes.
But if anybody can remember and recall, and Ryan actually had to remind me of this, because I forgot the Thunder played the Kings a second time. Then he reminded me, and I was like, oh, yeah, because – why was it such a benchmark, Mr. Chapman?
I'm sure that you guys are tired of hearing about this man by now, but...
no, he's the greatest basketball player to ever live.
Lugans Dort, the greatest player to ever hail from Canada.
Hello, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Sup.
Hello, Steve Nash.
Sorry, Andrew Wiggins.
Rubbish.
But
trash players.
The first matchup, Dort, obviously, still on this two-way... I guess he's still on his two-way today, but not really factoring in. The second matchup, this is the first game that Lu Dort really went off offensively. Dort ended up with 23 points, and he went from a guy that Thunder fans are going, hey, it's really cute, this guy from the OKC Blues filling in for Terrence Ferguson. He's the Roberson light.
He hustles,
Ferguson
he's fast,
light.
He's
yeah.
got some bulk, so he can guard multiple positions. It's kind of cool to watch, but yeah.
Yeah,
no
and
substance.
Then a fun headband. And then it kind of went to, okay, this dude hits the occasional corner three. Hey, that's someone that you might want to carry on in the playoffs with you, to, holy cow, this dude went off for 23, and it was sustainable scoring. It's not like he was just hitting circus shots or anything like that. You're like, oh, he made the smart decision to look off a defender, put the ball on the floor, get to the rim, and a finish that was like, wow, this guy can do that from time to time. And so Thunder fans, I think, really started to see the potential in what Lu Dort maybe could turn into, maybe could be. And so I think it's just worth noting that the Kings were the first time people said, can Dort be a better alternative to Terrence Ferguson? He was given the Thunder more offensively, just off ball, yep. than Ferguson generally does at times. And he didn't look shy on confidence. So interesting to see that this was the first time that maybe the Lu Dort experience became a real thing for Thunder fans.
Yeah, look, like, I'm sure my listeners by now on this podcast, and I've been saying, I always talk about this. It's always been an opinion of mine. So I'm sorry if I keep repeating myself and you're annoyed with it. But biggest thing with me, with young players especially, is just confidence. Are you going to fail and look stupid? Yes, but I want to see you actually try. If you're not trying, like, as a rookie or as a second-year player, what makes you think you're going to try when you're a third or fourth-year vet?
Right.
And Terrence was never gun-shy. If he was open, like, as a rookie and a second-year player, his first year as a starter, if he was open, he was going to shoot. And I like that, but I never really saw the confidence in trying to create. And the Thunder were trying to put him in positions to create. Two summer leagues ago, the first time I went to summer league, they played him at point guard, and it was a bad experience. But guess what? I liked it because they're forcing him to fail so that he can learn for the future.
Right.
And watching Lu Dort this season back in summer league in July, I was like, hey, there's something with this kid. Like, they have something with him. Like, the hustle is there. The desire is there. He's obviously got some physical gifts with his speed, his athleticism, his agility. He can run the floor. He can finish well. He can absorb contact. And the shooting motion, while the shot is not necessarily going, and the shooting motion isn't terrible. There's no hitch. You know, like, everything is there to build upon. And then, like you said, yeah, the Sacramento performance, that was the first time where people were like, okay, maybe there's more than just something here. And that's the big difference between a guy like Terrence Ferguson and Lu Dort, is just because he has the confidence. He doesn't care if he's on the road. He doesn't care where he is. He doesn't care like who's on the floor with him. If he's open, he's going to take the shot. If he has the ability to create, to penetrate, to make the defense collapse so he can kick out, he can do that too. If he can finish the rim, he's going to do it. So what is he going to become? I don't know. I think it's still too early. He's not even technically a full-time Thunder player at this point, but there's just a foundation there that the Thunder, I know, they're going to invest in.
And Lu Dort doesn't have to, don't get us wrong, we're not saying Lu Dort's going to be Giannis in 2 years or anything like that. Yeah. That weird arc of superstar.
He was going to be a first round pick if his shooting wasn't, like, during draft combines or whatever at Arizona State, if it wasn't awful.
Yeah.
I guess, like, the percentages or whatever were just bad during draft combines and it made him fall off the face of the earth.
And it's one of those things that I'm sure Thunder fans are tired of hearing this, but in a place like Oklahoma City, you're never going to be a free agent destination. You superstars in this league, you have them or you don't. Oklahoma City happens to have one that is on the fringe, maybe aging out of the superstar realm, but they have a clear leader in Chris Paul.
Yep.
And so what does a market like Oklahoma City have to do? They have to develop these role players that can come in and you know that they can give you something.
Yeah, that's why they get raw athletic guys who can't shoot. They get Terrence Ferguson or Hamidou Diallo or Lu Dort because, okay, we can invest to develop them, and maybe in so doing, they'll be here for a long time on cheap deals.
Yeah, and so they've got that, and so they're currently in the process of hoping that SGA is tracking toward, if he can continue to sustain the progress he's made in off seasons, being one of those guys that can be a true difference maker in the league. So Lu Dort's the kind of guy that you have to have around that you can show, look, we've developed Lu. We've developed guys like this. This is kind of how the Serge Ibaka started, and then Serge became a really big thing. Someone that you can turn to Shea when his contract comes up and say, stay in Oklahoma City, we can give you the most money, and also we'll put you these guys around you to help you succeed. And so they don't need Lu to be the sixth man of the year or anything like that. They just need him to come in and give good minutes and not be a liability and be a defensive plus. And that's what he's shown to be thus far. And you just have to hope that if OKC can continue him on this path, he can turn into something that'll be really nice for him.
And I think a big thing with his development, one more thing on Lu Dort, I think a big thing with his development, and this might be a little hyperbolic, is I want to see him have a good performance tonight, because he had an excellent performance, you know, two games ago. He was perfect from the floor. Awesome. But the Thunder also destroyed the Spurs, and sometimes players can have great games. And in my opinion, you know, it's almost as if it's kind of a waste that you have that a player that's kind of on the fringe has a great game in a blowout, because it's like, well, was the pressure really there? But Lu Dort, his 6-for-6 performance played into the Thunder destroying the Spurs. Like, they weren't up by 30 and then he went for 6-for-6. He went 3-for-3, 4-for-4 while they were building that lead. So it had some stock to it.
And he was a plus like 30 something on the night. I know we're not huge plus minus truthers, but when someone comes in and the lead is pushed out that big while he's on the floor and he has a plus 30, I don't think it's anything to shake your fist at.
Yeah, and over the last 15 games since he's made, you know, since he's been starting for the Thunder, I think he has the third best net rating on the team.
Yeah.
And the defensive numbers are very good, and the offensive numbers are surprisingly very good. But I want to see him have a good game tonight, because he had a very average to poor game against Chicago, and for the most part, no one really cared because they were up 24, but then all of a sudden the Bulls came back and took the lead, and the Thunder damn near lost it. So in terms of his development, his able to course correct, because players are always going to have off nights. So another thing that I'm looking for is just, can you bounce back and still make all the same plays that we've been seeing you play, or are we getting to a point now where defenses scout you, they know how to stop you now and take things away from you? Can you do other things?
Yeah, and that was kind of a storyline with the Spurs game, is it's Dort's first time to have some second matchups against some of these teams.
Yeah.
And so, just like you're saying, what can he do now that teams have some film on him to say, here's something else to try? Because that's the trick in the NBA. It's not the first pass. It's not the second pass. There's 82 games a year. You have to figure out how you can show something different every night, show something different from quarter to quarter. That's what Steven Adams said was so good about Jokic, that he can, for one quarter, do this, and then the next quarter completely change his game on you, and that's what makes him elite. So you got to see, can Dort show something else? Can he adjust on the fly? Because in a playoff series, you're going to have 5 or 6 games in a row where you can fine-tune a game plan and really get to work on exposing the same weaknesses or trying different things. You have to see if he's flexible enough to roll with the punches, work his way through it mentally and physically on the court, and still be that guy that Thunder fans think he can be.
When we get back, I'm going to ask Ryan his dream Thunder postseason matchup. More after the break. And just before I let Ryan leave, Mr. Ryan Chapman, you can follow him on Twitter at Radio's Ryan. I just wanted to ask you, with the Thunder now at the 5th seed as it stands right now, the Jazz lost to the Celtics last night. If the playoffs started today, they'd be playing Russell Westbrook in the 4-seeded Houston Rockets. What's your dream matchup?
Now, by dream matchup, do you mean what I would like to see most, or the matchup that I think the Thunder would advance in?
Do both, because I'm sure the listeners want to know what you feel like the most fortuitous matchup is, and then what you just simply want to see from your own personal selfishness.
So the most fortuitous matchup, I would say, is if they can somehow work out a way of grinding up to the 4, maybe, and Utah getting to the 5. This would require Houston to kind of fall off and dip. I think the Jazz is the best matchup for the Thunder right now. I just think the Jazz are kind of searching.
They don't know what they're... Yeah, at this point in the season, they're still trying to find something that works, and that's not... They're more talented than Oklahoma City, and that might be too much, but we've seen... Thunder fans have seen more talented teams the last 2 years lose their playoff series, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... And kind of reverse baseball there. Hard to see a team that's searching actually, like, work their way up, but anywho, I would take the Jazz if I'm looking for a Thunder win. I want to see the Thunder play Denver. Now, I know that the Houston matchup is sexy because it's Russell Westbrook, it's James Harden, they're back in Oklahoma City again for a playoff series. It's Chris Paul going against Westbrook again. It's Russell Westbrook trying to get out of the first round. Now they're trying to get out of the first round on the team that he's flopped in the playoffs the last 2 years for, all that stuff. But that Thunder-Denver game was just so much fun to watch. It's just selfishly... I don't know if the Thunder could win that series and sustain it over 7 games, but I'd sure like to see them try. And I'd love to see 7 games between Denver and Oklahoma City in a playoff atmosphere.
Can't say that I can't argue with you that much. Ryan, thank you so much for joining the show.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. Everybody, like I said, follow Ryan on Twitter at Radios Ryan. Does a great job on the Sideline Morning podcast with his partner Christine Butterfield, as well as with the Thunder coverage and Sooner basketball coverage at thefranchiseok.com. You can find all of his work there. And again, follow him on Twitter. You can see all of our silly videos and our Thunder coverage there as well. But everybody, thank you so much for listening to the Locked On Thunder podcast. And until next time, I'll talk to you later.